I'll be honest, I've always been a little bit skeptical of things I'd class as like woo-woo. Stuff like energy and manifestation, it's all just very new to me, I guess. And I feel like I have a lot of preconceptions and, if I'm honest, probably a little bit of judgment. Growing up in Brighton, I think all of these things for me were done by people who wear tie-dye harem trousers and they have crystals, and it was always just very different to how I saw the world and how I grew up. But honestly, since the weird years have hit, I am happy to explore anything which gives me some sort of clarity or helps me work out what the fuck is going on. And Zoe is someone who I met on this journey. So I host these co-work days in East London, and she came along, and immediately she just has this incredibly warm and vivacious, like, fun energy. And she's a business coach, but she does all these different practices, things like energy reading and Reiki, and builds that into her coaching. She's someone who I probably would never have met in my day-to-day life, and I'm so glad that I did. In this episode, we talk a lot about masculine and feminine energy. We talk about her successful business that she started, online coaching. But we also talk about some of the more difficult parts of her life. We talk about her journey through IVF and how she's been discovering herself through these more woo-woo spiritual terms. The only thing I ask from you is that you come to this episode with an open mind. And I really hope you enjoy it. Let's get into it. If life feels like a whirlwind of clarity and confusion, pull up a chair. Welcome to The Weird Years. Welcome to the pod, Zoe.
Thank you so much for having me.
I was trying to think like how we met, and then I was like literally through Instagram friend.
Yeah.
Because we were both in the same creative Instagram channel, and then I did a little co-work and you came along.
So I've literally met you like two or three times.
Yeah, you didn't come to the last one, did you?
No, I was devastated. And you had margaritas.
We did. We actually, like, at about half two or three, way too early, especially on my client's time, so hopefully they're not listening. But it was just so dark that we were like, should we just drink margaritas?
And we did that. I missed out on a really good one.
Late.
The other ones were also good.
Mm.
Did you go to karaoke after?
Did not go to karaoke after.
Okay, fine. Then I can relax a bit, because if you'd all gone karaoke, I would have been like devastated. I've had FOMO really bad.
Okay, that's good. That's how we get you to come, yeah, saying there's going to be karaoke after.
Every time, just say it's karaoke and I'll be there.
Oh, that's nice. That's nice. Funny, because the first time I met you, I think you have such a like big, exciting, like warm energy. And like from the first time I met you, I was like, oh my God, I'm obsessed. Because also you can just yap for England. So I was like, we need to get you on the pod. But even from like, you know, just hearing about your career journey, it's been such a, I guess, progression of different stuff. Like when I met you, you're talking about like lots of your work that you're doing now. And then you're like, oh, and I used to be a hair and makeup artist. And I was like, what?
It's a whirlwind.
It's a whirlwind.
It's been a journey. I think I'm finally getting to a point now where I'm like, oh, I sort of know where I'm at in my life, and like it feels good. But I think you were sort of saying even earlier, like you go through these stages of just trying to figure out who you are, what you want, and sometimes that choice is taken away from you because life happens. So
yeah.
I think for me it has just been a real whirlwind of just figuring out who I am, what I want, what do I want to do for a career, what do I want to do with my life. And so I guess it's made me, I've got lots of layers, I'm like an onion.
You are an onion.
Yeah.
You're like Shrek.
I am.
Is it Shrek that's the onion?
Yeah.
I think so.
I am Shrek, basically. Hello everyone, my name's Shrek.
Yeah, I think that you were mentioning that for you the weird years have been like very cyclical and really up and down. When do you think was like the first, or was there a point where you first thought, oh shit, I'm in the stickiness here?
I was thinking about this. I was thinking that the first time I experienced what I would call a weird year, or that weird cyclical phase, is probably when I left home. Like you sort of leave the nest and you go from being a sort of adult child, like you're an adult, you think you're an adult, but you're still kind of looked after a little bit, and then you're out on your own. And that's where the sort of process of like, oh, who am I, what am I going to do with my life, suddenly the pressure's on. So I had my first sort of weird years in my early 20s, where I tried all the things, made all the mistakes, beat myself up for all the mistakes, tried to, you know, resist some of the changes that were happening, and then I would say I'm in another weird years.
Oh, you're back in it.
I'm back in.
I love that. 3 minutes ago, you were like, I'm in a good place now. No, actually.
Well, this is the funny thing. I'm enjoying my weird year.
Oh, that's good.
Because I think in my early 20s, I was like, what the hell is this? Like, turbulence. And now I'm kind of like, I have fully surrendered to this. And I'm kind of like excited to see where it takes me. Whereas before, there was a lot more resistance because I was like, this feels scary. There's loads of change. But I think when you've gone through some turbulent times in your life, you sort of come out of it and you're like, I did that and I survived. And how can I make this easier next time? Try not to resist it and just sort of go with it.
Flow with it.
Yeah. And I'm enjoying this weird year.
That's good. Yeah. I love that. Yeah. What are all the things you tried out in your 20s?
Oh my God, so many things. I mean, you said you've been a hair and makeup artist. Yes, I've been a hair and makeup artist. I've done loads of promo work. I worked in accounts for a bit. I'm terrible with numbers. Don't let me do that. Just so many stupid things. I've travelled around a lot, which was really good. But yeah, all the jobs you could think of. I think that's probably, obviously I've gone into business coaching now, but I do actually have quite a lot of experience with just lots of different things. You know that classic saying of like, jack of all trades, master of none. But then you found that, yeah. How does it end?
Jack of all trades, master of none, but sometimes better than a master of one.
Yes.
Or it might be always better than a master of one.
Let's go with always. Yeah. Feel better.
Which, for anyone who hasn't heard that ending, everyone always just says jack of all trades, master of none. But actually, the second bit is saying, but it's better to have a couple of things than just one.
It is.
So take that as a life lesson. And that is you now, right? Yeah. You're a bit of... You've got all sorts of things going on.
Yeah. So like a bit of background for anyone that's listening, like who the hell is this girl? So I started out my career in more the acting and presenting world. So I left school, then I got an office job and I quickly realised that my energy was way too...
You're like, this is not acceptable here.
like rocking back and forth in my chair. Like, I'm not meant to be here. And so I never went to drama school or anything, but I started to see like castings coming up for like presenting roles and acting roles. This is what I mean. So I've been in loads of music videos.
Have you?
Loads of commercials. Do you remember Freedom Gel? Do you remember? Like,
Yeah.
I was in that advert. I had very short hair and I got typecast as a lesbian. I'm not. I'm married to a man, but I had short hair and so they put me in a trilby hat.
Love that.
And like a white vest. And I basically had to be like, fight your angry spots. If anyone finds that, just...
I am going to find that.
Burn it.
I'm going to stick that in the middle of this.
So yeah, I landed castings for like adverts and did presenting and I really enjoyed it. Until it actually really knocked my confidence because there's a lot of rejection in that industry. And I was like, I need something else that I feel like safer in. Mm-hmm. And then obviously I quite enjoyed getting my hair and makeup done when I wasn't made to look like I was a lesbian when I'm actually not. No offense to lesbians, love you, but I'm not a lesbian.
Yeah. And also, I love that they're just like, that's what a lesbian looks like, short hair.
Yeah.
It's like literally. Back in the days when they were like, well, she couldn't possibly be a lesbian, she's got long hair.
Right? Literally, they were
it doesn't
like,
make sense.
You've had your hair cut off, you must be a lesbian. And then that I basically went through a whole lesbian era.
Nice.
Being cast for lots of lesbian roles. So I actually, oh no, I shouldn't say this. This is the most
say
cringe
it. Thing.
I'm going to say it now. What are you doing to me? There must be something in this room that's making
it's me... actually in the tea.
Yeah, you put in there. I did, and my friends still taunt me for this, I did a front cover for free for a lesbian magazine. I can't remember the name of it, but the lady who I was posing with, we were both sort of topless, but she was pregnant. So I had to like cup the belly and her breast. For a front cover, and it was out on like shelves, you know. And you're like, I'm trying to say I'm not a lesbian, but
yeah, then
I'm
you're like, on the that's my wife,
that's my wife, and that's my baby.
Like, I made that,
so you can see where the weird years are really.
Yeah,
I'm unfolding a lot of weird years here.
Yeah,
so did that, and then I was like, you know what. I don't know how I feel about all of this. So I am going to go more behind the scenes. And that's when I fell into doing hair and makeup. And that was my career for 14 years.
Wow.
Loved it. Traveled the world with it. I'm a creative through and through, really. It was really great. But my husband and I moved from London back to Essex because we wanted to buy. Got married. And then the whole thing, I mean, you're married now. I don't know if you've had this happen to you, but as soon as you're married, people are like, when are you having children? And so I was like, oh, okay, right. Maybe we should, we're married, we've got a house. Maybe this is the thing.
How old were you at this point?
27.
Okay, it's quite young to get married.
27.
To me, that's child bride area still.
I was child bride, I reckon. Yeah, bit of a child bride. But yeah, then started trying for a family and it didn't work. And we were like, oh, shit, this is my first sort of hurdle of, like, I usually, when I work hard at something, I can get what I want.
Mm.
And I was like, this isn't happening. So we had IVF. We had 3 rounds of IVF. I had several miscarriages, which was just an awful, awful time.
Mm.
But during that time, I was like, I can't show up for my clients. I was doing a lot of wedding hair and makeup as well at the time.
Right.
And I didn't feel like I could show up for my clients in the best way possible whilst I was going through all of that. So I then decided, right, I need to have more of a digital style business whilst I'm going through this season.
Mm.
I don't know how long this season's going to last. And so I set up my business where I was educating other hair and makeup artists. So teaching them how to do, like, I specialize in really natural hair and makeup, more editorial style makeup. So I sort of went through a teaching phase, all digital, which made it a lot easier for me on a physical level whilst going through the IVF process.
Yeah.
But also was really handy because then COVID happened and I had a digital business and I couldn't physically work as a hair and makeup artist because the beauty industry shut down.
Right.
So that, like, was a really awful phase for me. But you know, when I sort of said to you, sometimes when you try and resist things and you sort of just get defeated by things, it makes it so much harder. I just decided to be like, this is the season that I'm in. I'm going to have to adapt and I'm going to have to be flexible.
Mm.
And I think we were even saying earlier, like, we maybe beat ourselves up for jumping around and maybe being too flexible and adapting too much when things don't feel right. But actually, I see it as a bit of a superpower, because if I hadn't have adapted, my business probably would have gone to shit because I wasn't able to show up properly for my clients.
Yeah.
I was physically unwell, mentally broken. And luckily, I'd set up a digital business that saw me right through COVID and actually exploded. Mm. So I've gone from, what, lesbian front covers to IVF to setting up a digital business, to growing that digital business to six-figure business. It went massive and I was really proud of myself.
Yeah. Would people have said you were in your girl boss era there? Did you think about it that way?
I felt like I had to be in a girl boss era because I couldn't be a mum. So for me, there was that societal pressure of, like, if you can't be a mum, then surely you have to be a career woman. You know what I mean? So, well, you might not feel that pressure, but something inside me was like, I need to do something else now.
Do you know, it's so funny because actually we take submissions, obviously, people writing into the show, and we did one about kids.
Mm.
And one of the things we didn't use because we had so many people talking about it was someone saying that she has this fantastic business, but she knows she doesn't want kids.
Right.
And she always feels the pressure to have to be like, it can't just be a lifestyle business. It has to be like a big, you know, ginormous growth, because she feels like that's what you have to prove to people to validate yourself if you're not a mother.
Yeah. And that is exactly how I felt.
Mm.
And I think it got to a point where, like, on paper, definitely girl boss era, like, it looked great. And there were times where I felt really good and really proud. But I think what happened was I didn't ever allow myself time to heal from that fertility phase.
Mm.
And I just threw myself into the next thing almost as a way of, like, distraction, probably.
Yeah.
And then it got to a point where I was just really unhappy. So I was earning really well and have a lovely house and lovely lifestyle, but I was like, I'm really unfulfilled. And then that's when I was like, I think I need to go back and heal and figure out who I actually am and what I want, not what society expects me to have or do, or not what my friends and family expect me to do. What do I actually want? And so that's when the spiritual aspect of my journey came into play, which I struggled with, because even though I'm a creative and I am quite a free-spirited person, I'm also somebody that just loves data and tangible things.
Me too.
And so I found it a bit like cringe. Like, I was sitting there, like, meditating and having Reiki and doing all the things. And sometimes, you know what it's like. I mean, we've spoken about the spiritual community. Sometimes it can feel a bit, there's some stereotypes that just make me want to vomit, basically.
Mm.
So I sort of stuck my toe in and I was like,
what was the first thing? What was your, like, I have a little dabble?
The first thing was meditation.
Okay.
Because my mind was just crazy. And I just started with YouTube and I was like, I'm just going to do a 5-minute meditation every single day.
Nice.
And it was such a profound, I had a profound experience straight away. I was just like, I'm seeing, like, what is this? Is this my higher self speaking to me? Is there something in my tea? Like, what is happening? And I just felt so much clarity in that moment. Journaling. I started to go to regular sound healing. I had Reiki. I started to look into human design, which has now become a massive part of my business model. And I guess really on some level, it was soul searching.
Mm.
And this is where like the crossover of spirituality and religion sometimes happens, I think, and maybe why some people feel scared to tap into spirituality, because it does sort of feel like you're doing it when you're in this weird years phase because you're feeling a bit lost. But actually it helped me to be like, it helped me to recalibrate. And I'm like, oh, okay, this feels really good. There's not loads of data on some of the practices that I do, but all the data that I needed was how I felt. That was enough evidence for me to be like, this shit works.
Mm.
It's making me feel really good. It's making my business better. It's making me function better. I'm able to heal. And then that's when I was like, everybody needs to just try. Try some of this stuff. And I know you've been trying some of this stuff. And how much clarity do you feel now? Like,
yeah, I mean, I think so many people can relate to that, like storming through a time in your life and then having to really pause and be like, fuck, I actually need to unpick it.
Yeah.
Like, I think I've done that multiple different phases of my life personally. And I imagine those people listening who've gone through like fertility issues will feel the same thing. Because, I mean, I still don't think you get time off in the UK for fertility like challenges, do you? I mean, now they've introduced, I think, time off like when you have a pregnancy loss or a baby loss.
Yeah.
But that only came in like 2 years ago.
Yeah. It weren't in place when I was going through that, and it was just so shit.
Yeah.
But I think I look back at that time now and I think, do you know what? I don't feel sad. I don't feel angry. I actually just feel at peace with it because I genuinely believe that I was trying to force something that it's either not meant to happen at all, or it was not meant to happen at that time. Point. And I truly believe that had I have not gone through that, I wouldn't be at the space I'm at now. And if motherhood happens for me, I am in such a better space mentally, physically, which is actually way more responsible of me going into wanting to be a parent anyway.
Yeah.
So I can kind of look back at it and be like, and I think we can all look back at maybe our weird years and be like, that was weird, but there's a lesson in there and there's so much growth in that that I almost look back at it fondly. It's such a weird feeling because it obviously wasn't great at the time, but I look back and I'm like, I got through that and it was really hard and I still managed to do these other things and like I'm actually really proud. So weird years.
It's funny because so many people have come to that as well. Like most people I've chatted to so far have been like, it was an inevitable thing that you had to do. And I think there's like a real beauty in going back and reflecting on things, and that our society just doesn't really, like we're kind of scrabbling for moments of reflection as much as we can.
Yeah.
Like the whole thing of, you know, we're disconnected from nature, and then it's like pay 40 quid on a train to go out and touch a tree because you live in the middle of London. And, you know, people are going, trying to get their meditation in the morning. They're trying to do yoga. Like people are desperately wanting those moments of solace and kind of looking into yourself. And maybe even like, I've got into this thing I've been listening to about intuition.
Yeah.
Because I've always been like, I'm a real rationalist. Like my job is I'm a strategist. I pick apart problems. Like that's literally what I do all day, is like find problems and solve them. And often with like a lot of data. And I've always been like, I don't really have that intuition.
Mm.
And then I found some old art books from when I was like 18. Oh my God, they're amazing. They're like scrapbooks from when I used to be like, this sucks. Oh my God, I love this guy. Like, honestly, they're so funny. I almost want to post some because they're so teenage angst. It'll be like, no one loves you like I do, to this guy in a band who literally has never fucking spoken to me in his life. And I'd be like, obsessed. But yeah, I was looking at that and I was like, actually, kind of having some time reconnecting with intuition, reconnecting with feeling. Because I looked at these books and I thought, God, I don't know how to express myself anymore. Mm. I have no output of expression. And from that, I think I lost that like intuition of like, people always say to me, oh, what does your gut say about it? And I'm like, my gut says I have IBS.
My gut says I'm going to shit myself in a minute.
My gut's like, stay away from lentils. And I just had lost that connection. And this is a roundabout way of saying, like, that whole thing around your intuition and your gut brain axis and calming your nervous system. Now I'm like, oh, you're an idiot. There's so much evidence on this.
Yeah. We all have intuition. And I think this goes back to, we've sort of spoken about this maybe a little bit before, where I've tried to explain, like, I have always been someone that's very in my masculine energy.
Mm.
You've got masculine and feminine energy. It's not as black and white as that, but just for explaining purposes, like, masculine energy is usually about structure, routine, it's consistency, it's action. And I think a lot of us in this modern society are very much in our masculine because we have to be, because of the pressures of living in this world. And it's very much built for men.
Yeah.
No offense. but, you know, it is built for men.
Yeah.
And a lot of us have lost that connection with our feminine flow, which is intuition. And we all have access to that, men and women. But we've been taught from a really young age to use logic, to use our head, which has a place, definitely.
Mm.
But our intuition is like our internal, like, sat nav. It's there. Like, it's part of the brain. Like, they talk to one another. And I just think, why are we overriding our gut instinct with our brain? Our brain's there to keep us safe.
Mm.
Our brain's there to tell us that this is dangerous, don't do this, don't do this, or you need to do this. But the gut instinct is so nurturing. It's a completely different feeling. And I think that as a business coach now, so the last 5 years I've sort of fallen into coaching other businesses. Once I had my success as a business owner, I was able to sort of teach people what I did. And a lot of it was based on masculine elements like consistency and structure and strategy. But actually, if you can integrate that feminine flow into your business model, you create like the most wonderful experience, not just for yourself as a business owner, but for your clients as well. So I just think this is where the spiritual aspect has been really helpful for me personally, as someone that also loves data, strategy, masculine energy. But I do feel like we all need a bit of both. We need balance.
Can you, because I hear that, like, and the first time I heard of masculine and feminine energy, something in me just wanted to punch it.
Yeah.
I don't know why. It's like,
you want to punch me right now?
Yeah, I do. I'll do it with a pillow.
Got
no,
it.
Like, at first I just found it like, I almost felt like it was an attack.
Yeah.
I think that's where my initial, I was like, oh, well, I'm consistent and these are good things.
Yeah.
Can you, because you've talked about consistency, action, it's very kind of like driven, I guess, and achievement focused. Yeah. And I guess that is a reflection, like, of the society we live in now. Like, back in the day when we were running around on the savannah, like, I don't know, maybe how much you're focusing on these really cerebral things probably weren't that valuable. But what do you class as like a, what's the feminine energy traits? Because I'm not super clear on that. So sorry for the interruption. Lydia here. If you're liking this episode, please do give it a thumbs up or subscribe. Thank you so much. Sorry, I'll be quiet now.
So for me, I started to get more into learning more about masculine and feminine. And I do think there's probably better ways of explaining it than just this. But I think for people that are sort of new to like understanding what this might be, it's a really good starting point just to have it as a bit black and white, masculine, feminine. So I'm Reiki trained. And so you learn a lot about energy in that sense. So like I even have like the little tattoos.
Right, tell us what Reiki is.
So Reiki is, yeah, so Reiki is a Japanese form of healing. It's all to do with life force energy. And you channel the life force energy through either yourself or your clients or the plants or whatever you want to channel it through. And it helps to realign your energy. It helps to unblock any stagnant energy within the body, which we all have. We all hold on to things from emotion, like emotional trauma, just things that we're holding on to within our body, and our organs hold on to it as well. Everything at a cellular level is vibrating and moving. And when we don't allow emotions to pass through us, it can get stuck and it can cause lots of different issues in our bodies. And so Reiki allows the energy to flow through the body, help to unblock the energy, and helps your body to heal itself. And I found that that practice was really insightful for me because it allowed me to get a deeper insight into, first of all, everything is energy. So on a really basic level, I was like, okay, I can't see the energy coming out of my hands. Like, am I going to be like a god character? Like, wow, I'm just going to heal this.
This is when you started that cult.
Yeah, this is when I started the cult. adult, so I started like wearing my dream catch earrings and like white linen. I probably will go through that phase at some point, who knows. I'm open to it. Yeah, I'm open to that phase. But for me, I was like, okay, I'm learning about how energy works and I'm learning to tap into my intuition. What is my body saying to me when I am having Reiki? I'm getting some tightness in my shoulders. I am getting some, you know, maybe some clicking sensations in my knee. And it just allowed me to tap into my body. We're so disconnected from our body. We've got 100%. So much external stimuli around us that we don't know our ass from our tit now. We're just like, what, well, you know, oh, it's painful. I'll take a paracetamol without trying to get to the root of the problem.
Yeah.
So that's kind of why I sort of liked the idea of Reiki. But I learned in Reiki that you have your feminine and your masculine. And typically everything on your left side is the feminine. Okay. That's why I have the little moon here to represent feminine energy. And then on this side is your masculine, so the sun. And I was finding that I was getting a lot of issues when I was having these holistic treatments on my left side, which is my feminine side. And I started to use this as an opportunity to do a bit of self-reflection and be like, why do I think I'm so blocked in my left side? It could just be because I've been carrying things with this hand, which on a really like basic level, that probably is what it is. But I wanted to explore whether it could be something else.
Yeah.
And I believe that I've just been in my masculine, which is survival, structure, fast pace. I never gave myself time to receive, to rest, to be in our creative flow, which is, again, you said that you've lost touch with that as as, you know, an artist. And that is what feminine energy is. It's more receiving. It doesn't mean that it's passive. It doesn't mean that it's not strong, but it's slower. It's more creative. It's more flexible.
Considered?
I would say so, yeah. More nurturing. And you having one or the other isn't bad, but I think having a mix of both is what we want. And in human design, those people that don't know about human design, like a system that combines lots of different spiritual modalities, including astrology, the Hindu chakra system, the Chinese I Ching, the Kabbalah, and quantum physics. Quantum physics was where I was like, oh, okay.
You're like, I can get on board
with this. But you learn a lot about masculine and feminine human design as well, because you've got something in your chart called the variables, which are the arrows in your chart. If they're pointing one way, it means your energy is probably better with more masculine energy. And if they're pointing the other way, your energy might be better in more of a feminine flow. And I learned that actually it was half and half for me.
Interesting.
But I never allowed myself to be in my feminine ever. So even as simple as like rest, I don't know what rest is. I've only just started to learn what rest is in this year. And just giving myself more time and space to create, not because it needs to be something, because I have this habit of monetizing all of my hobbies.
Of course, yeah.
It doesn't need to be that way. Like, I should just learn to play the piano because it feels good. And that's me creating. So I'm really trying to bring in this feminine energy into my day-to-day life, whether that's through a bit of somatic movement, playing piano, maybe just drawing something just because it feels good, singing, just anything that feels a bit more creative, just to balance out that energy.
Do you think you've always been disconnected from that more feminine energy, like your left side, or do you think it came from somewhere? Did it disconnect at a certain point?
I think for me, I think for a lot of people, it disconnects when you leave your childhood. If you think about a child, they are so in feminine energy. They're playing, they're learning, they're not beating themselves up if they make a mistake. They're not consistent, really.
They're doing things for joy.
And they're so happy. And I think when we get into that next stage of our lives where we've got to, you know, you've got to get a job, you've got to do this, it's structure, it's pressure. And there's a time and place for that. And I love that as well. That's how I've built a business. That's how I pride myself on some of those traits. But I definitely feel like I lost that sense of feminine play and feminine nurturing and energy and nurturing myself. I'd always be so hard on myself. Like, if I failed at something, rather than looking at it as a lesson, I'd be like, you idiot, you know, like your whole life's falling apart now, you better do something else, you know, shame.
Yeah.
Whipping myself.
Nine tails.
Yeah, literally. So I'm just trying to be or embrace. I'm not trying to be anything. I'm trying to embrace like just a bit more feminine energy so that it feels, everything just feels a bit easier.
Mm.
And human design has really helped me with that. Like it's given me a bit of a blueprint that I could follow to be like, okay, I can bring in a bit more of this into my life and just see how it feels. I think that's the other thing with spirituality or any kind of holistic practices. I think you have to take it with a pinch of salt and ultimately you have to think, does that work for me? If it doesn't, that's absolutely fine. You haven't got to go all in and be like, right, I'm a Buddha now.
Yeah.
And I'm going to change my whole life and I am going to wear white linen and wear dreamcatcher earrings and be vegan and do all these things that, you know, some of the spiritual stereotypes tell us to do.
Yeah.
You don't have to do that. You can just dabble.
It's also like a curiosity thing, I think, because I used to be super skeptical and I would be the first one to take the piss out of any of my friends.
You'd have big eye rolled me.
Big eye roll, yeah, for sure. And one of my best friends, she has got into tarot cards. And the first time she brought them out, I was like, fucking brilliant. I was like, I'm going to roast her so hard. Fantastic. And then I heard her doing it with someone and I was like, oh, this is just like reflection.
Self-reflection. That's exactly it. Just allows you to connect.
Yeah. She pulls out a card and says like, you know, this means this. Kind of where does that play in to your life? And I was like, oh, this is just a really smart way of almost therapizing people, getting them to think about, you know, what's going on in their head, what's going on in their lives, and just look at the situations they're in. I think I used to think it was like, the card says this, I'm going to break up with my husband, move to Australia, do this. And now I see like there's so much value in just fucking, at this point, any fucking tool that can help you take a moment, reconnect with yourself, think about what you want in a more, you know, less intense way.
Yeah.
It's fab.
I think it's great. I mean, I often say that with my business coaching that I do, I integrate a bit of human design and we pull tarot cards because I don't use it as a way of like, I don't believe that cards can predict your future. To any tarot reader out there that does that, but I just can't get on board with that. Again, for me, that doesn't feel tangible. It doesn't make sense for me. But what I do like about tarot is it's exactly what you said. It's almost like a form of therapy.
Mm.
It allows you to reflect. It allows you to connect. And it's fun.
Yeah.
Just do it just because you're curious, not because of anything else. Like, just do it because it's a fun little thing to do.
Yeah, hear each other's stories.
Yeah.
I think, do you know what it is? I think when I reflect on the feminine versus masculine energy and why I immediately felt so like, I didn't like the divide is because it feels like there's different values attached to those.
Yeah.
So when someone says, you know, consistency, action, those are things that we've really prided in our society. And when someone says this kind of like nurturing, because, you know, nurses aren't paid as much as accountants and like preschool teachers aren't paid as much as someone who works in advertising, like these kind of different roles. And I think that's why I inherently was like, well, I'm not that. And the older I've got, the more I've thought about that value, inherent value of how we think about masculine and femininity just in society. And I'm like, it's fucking bizarre.
It is.
It's bizarre because what is more powerful when you meet someone, what's more powerful, the person who can reel off the list of things that they do or the person that can connect with you and get you to share something and share something themselves and you walk away being like, I feel amazing from that chat.
Yeah. And I think we just need a bit of both.
Yeah.
I see people that are really, really in their masculine that I'm like, oh, are you in this? I know that for me personally, and everyone will be completely different, I definitely went into my masculine out of survival. I have to do this because if I sit and feel my feelings, it's too uncomfortable. It's too much. I can't do it. I need to do this because I need to survive. And this is what's going to help me to achieve. This is what all other high achievers are doing. They're structured, they're consistent, they're strong, they're bold, they're, you know, all of these things, which are great.
Mm.
But I just feel like it also needs that other aspect of feminine energy. And you even mentioned earlier, like, what would we be doing back in the day, like in caveman times? It'd be a bit of both.
Yeah.
You know, there'd be times of action and hunting and gathering, and then there'd be times of rest and dancing and singing around a fire and
storytelling.
Exactly. Like such basic things. And I just think we've lost the connection to that, and our body really does want it.
Mm.
I actually invested in a grounding mat.
Grounding bed sheet.
Like these are the things that we do these days. We pay to go in like hundreds of pounds to go and stay in a cabin in the woods.
Yeah.
Or we buy a grounding sheet that I can put my feet on and it gives me the same sensation as standing on bare grass with my bare feet. Bare God. Grass, bare feet.
It's quite tragic, isn't it?
It when is. You think about it. I actually feel a bit like embarrassed for myself. But it was working.
It works, yeah.
Anything that's going to make you just feel a little bit better, I think, why not explore it? That's how I got into the holistic therapies. I thought, I'm at my wit's end here. I've tried everything else and that hasn't worked. So I'm just going to embrace some of these other things. And when I started, I was like, I'm cringed out. Like some of the sister circles that I've gone to, I'm like, I can't
do this. Too much for you.
It's too much for me. It's too over the top for me personally.
Yeah.
I can see why people love it, but I do still get that uncomfortable feeling. Like I don't want it to feel like a cult. Like I want it just to be somewhere in the middle, like accessible spirituality where it's like, it's just allowing you just to tap in and that's enough. Like you are a spiritual being. Mm. Just tapping into who you are that's absolutely fine for me on my spiritual journey. But yeah, I think for me, it's been an absolute game changer in terms of being able to ride the weird years.
Yeah.
I can surrender to it.
That's interesting. You say surrender because that's something I've been thinking about a lot. It's like you said you had to go into this masculine energy, like in order to survive and kind of succeed in where you were and to get through those difficult times. I guess, is there a part where being in your feminine energy is almost like a privileged state? Like, because when we think about, you know, Maslow's hierarchy of needs, at the bottom, you've got like, be able to eat food. And at the top, you've got, I think it's called self-reflection or self-acceptance, something like that. Do you think, in our society, it's like, you really have to work and be in a position of privilege to be able to be in your feminine?
I think that's a really good point. Not lots of people can make time to rest and be in their feminine. But I think the reason I found it so difficult to embrace feminine energy initially was because it actually just seemed a bit passive and a bit pathetic.
Right.
Like, that's how I would feel, which I see now is such a silly thing to say because I'm like, it's not. It's you need both. Mm. That's what balance is. That's what energy is. You need a bit of both. Like yin and yang, you know, they work together. But I also agree that maybe there is an element of privilege there, but I wonder for those people that maybe struggle to get into their feminine because of their life circumstances and maybe they are stuck in survival mode, whether there's just small things that they can do to embrace feminine. So for me, that was singing along to a song, putting on a song and singing and dancing a little bit in my kitchen whilst I'm making dinner. Like it sounds so silly and you'll feel like an absolute wally when you do it, but also it's just so fun.
Yeah.
And like there should be time where you can just do little things, like little acts of just self-love, even if it's spending a bit longer, like doing your skincare routine, or it's some element of nurturing in some sort of way, whether that's nurturing others or nurturing yourself. So maybe there's some people that think that they're not in their feminine, but actually they are because they are supporting their family or they're nurturing in some sort of way. But I wonder if there's just small little acts you can do just to balance that energy out a little bit. And so for me, that looks like, singing and dancing in my kitchen, which I sometimes now put on social media, which
I've seen it. Oh, I love it.
At first, I was like, if I was watching this, I would be like sick in my mouth. But now I'm like, fuck it.
Fuck it.
I don't care. I feel really good. And if this inspires one person just to be like, I'm going to do it and see how I feel and it makes them feel better, then
worth it.
Job done.
Yeah.
Spending a bit longer, like making your cup of tea, just having a moment just to breathe. Like
rituals, calming.
Yeah, lovely little rituals.
There's a scary thing that I found on social media, and actually I think we're seeing it in media quite a lot, which is the co-opting of feminine energy for either really capitalistic or really male beneficial lifestyles. Like to me, I think a big rejection as well of the feminine energy was that I was seeing these women going on TikTok, and I think maybe Nara Smith is an example of this kind of trad wife of like, and I don't mean that in a shade because I think actually the more I've understood her brand, she's quite an interesting character and actually quite an interesting dynamic with her husband. But these people who'd come on and Ballerina Farm and that kind of trad wife of, I'm wearing flowing dresses and I'm submissive and I'm nurturing and I'm quiet. And I think that so many men looked at that and went, oh yeah, like that we want a wife. Oh, you should get in your feminine energy because basically shut the fuck up and make my food and birth my children and just get on with it.
And look pretty.
And look pretty. And that's the other thing is I think I struggled with, I don't think the nuance of power was maybe thought about. Like to me, it's powerful to nurture and to lead and to do all the things that women do. And I saw like people taking this term and like ripping it away and young girls being like, here's how to get into your feminine energy to get what you want from a man. Like I did this and a man bought me this coffee at Starbucks. I did this and he bought me a handbag. And I'm like, babe, this is transactional. This is patriarchal. And you've just drunk the Kool-Aid.
Feeding in. Yeah. Yeah, I know exactly what you're saying. Oh, and you're so right. When you're saying it, I'm like, yes, it does feel like that sometimes. But I think for me, when I'm thinking about it, I'm never thinking about doing it for the benefit of a man, probably because I am still quite in my masculine energy anyway.
Right. But
yeah, there is an element of that. And that is actually really scary because it feels like we're reverting back to like the 1940s.
Yeah.
Where we'll just be a sweet little housewife. And there's nothing wrong with that if people want to do that. I think ultimately it's about feeling into what feels good for you. Some people will naturally be more in their masculine and some people will be more in their feminine, and it's just what feels right for them. And also that might evolve based on what weird year you're in.
Definitely. You know?
And I think being open to both is, and exploring how they both feel is probably where I would recommend people start. Just how does it feel? I have tried to wear like more dresses to help me embody more feminine energy, but ultimately there's still a part of me that it makes me feel vulnerable.
Yeah.
So you're going to look at my skirt and I'm sitting on the tube, or like there is still an element of me not being able to fully embody it because of the society that we live in.
It's a vulnerability. I think inherently it is a vulnerability because I also, there's this kind of trend on TikTok, which was things like, I think they called it soft girl, and it was like turning your brain off when your husband or your boyfriend's around, and these things of like, you go to the airport, you don't even know where you're going. And it's like, on one way, I think that's a beautiful thing to trust your partner inherently. And I think that's what we all want. But then the other side of me looks at it and is like, girl, not in the world we live in.
No,
you
no.
You don't do that in the world we live in.
No. I have never thought about masculine and feminine, especially feminine, in terms of pleasing a man. I just think about pleasing myself with it.
Yeah.
And I also think that based on what we're talking about when we're unpicking this feminine energy, it feels like it's a weakness, doesn't it? When we talk about feminine energy, but actually as a woman and feminine, nothing more powerful than that.
Yeah.
Like you can literally fucking birth a freaking thing out of your vagina. You can grow something inside you. Some people, not me.
God.
No, it's fine. But, you know, most women have the ability to create. And I think that there's so much power in that, and it doesn't have to be a passive, weak, negative thing, but it's been drummed into us to think that feminine energy is weak and there's no power in feminine, but there's so much power in feminine. There's so much power in rest. There's so much power in, it's that classic thing of like, when you switch off, you can come back stronger. When you embrace your feminine energy, you can then step into the other energy with way more power. They complement each other.
Yeah.
So I just think it's just a bit of both.
I love that. That's a good place to go into some of our segments, I think. So one I like to do is asking you, knowing what you know now, what's one thing that you'd tell yourself if you could speak to that person 10 years ago?
If I could go back and speak to Zoe 10 years ago, I would just say, chill the fuck out. Mm. Like, relax. Surrender. It's that classic thing of like, if you just relax, like everything works out. I think I felt like I was fighting against a bloody tidal wave in those years and still sometimes feel like that. But the more I just learned to surrender to it, the easier it is. So I would go back and be like, it might feel hard now, but it's harder if you're forcing things or if you're trying to go against things and you're trying to force yourself to be better and get through this phase. Whereas if you can just almost lean into it and let it carry you, it's a lot easier. And also you're going to fuck up and it's absolutely fine.
It's a good message. I love that. What about one thing you could wish for yourself in 10 years?
I'm going to say, like, immediately what comes to me, let's just tap into the intuition here, it is peace and calm. Mm. Like, I just want a bit of space to think and to slow down.
Yeah.
Which is, if I could say that to Zoe 10 years ago, she'd be like, shut the fuck up. No way are we doing that. Like, who are you? But honestly, I'm just wanting more simplicity. Yeah, more simplicity, more peace, more calm. I want to grow herbs.
Nice.
Yeah, they'll probably all fucking die, but...
I think that's everyone. Like, most women I know, like, are in their 30s are feeling like, I just want to fucking live in the countryside and get a goat.
Yeah, I really do.
Yeah.
Grow some herbs, cook myself nice meals, and my husband, I guess, if he's there. But mostly me.
I guess.
Yeah.
As always with these episodes, I put out some questions to the audience. And a couple of people wrote in with their thoughts about success. So one person said that success is always working for myself. It always has been and always will be. Fuck someone telling me when to work, when to vacay, etc. Just know my brain will work when it wants to and I'll take off at a moment's notice if the wind takes me. Being able to own your own lifestyle is a dream.
Love that. Like,
yeah, girl. Yeah. What are you doing? Tell us some tricks.
Yeah, everyone's version of success is going to be different. That sounds like, to me, that version of success is independence.
And freedom.
And freedom.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is an interesting one. So I put a question about kind of spirituality and someone said that they're sick of hearing about manifestations. People put too much pressure on themselves, manifesting things that never happen. And then they get even more upset, feeling something is wrong with them just because it doesn't work out. It can be, they said obese, it can be an obese room, but I think that might have been a spelling error. But it basically, they said it can have the opposite effect.
I think there's an element of that. I actually would agree. I think we're in this real big self-development phase at this you've seen it. Spirituality is like having its time, which
the tarot cards are selling.
Yeah, they are, and those human design readings are flying off the shelves, thank you very much. But the element of self-development is wonderful on so many levels, but again, it needs that balance, doesn't it? If we're so focused on inward that sometimes we're like overanalyzing things and thinking that we're broken, that we need to fix ourselves. So I think there is an element of spirituality where you do have to tread carefully because you want it to be self-development and a journey of exploration and ensuring that you feel authentic and happy in yourself. But there's also an element of feeling like you've got to fix things all the time.
Yes.
And, you know, manifestation can feel like that sometimes. It's like, well, I've got to be better next year and I've got to do this next year. We're going to, you know, you'll see loads of this kind of stuff, especially when, you know, it's the beginning of the year or the end of the year. That comes up a lot.
Mm.
And then you're like, oh, I've got to do this and I've got to do that. I think that that's when it can feel dangerous because, again, it's going into masculine energy where...
More.
And they've got to be consistent and it's got to have this effect and it's got to do this. Whereas I think for me, I love the idea of manifestation. I only do it maybe at the end of the year and I'll just do a nice little vision board. I don't put too much pressure on it. I just think about what is it that I would want. Sometimes all I put down is like, I don't know, a picture of the woods or something just because I want to get outside a bit more. Like really simple things. So... I definitely think that you have to be mindful when you go into this kind of work. Nobody's broken, but we all think we are when we start this work because we're like, oh my God, I'm a bad person because I've done this or da 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 da. But ultimately, again, it's just that word about balance, isn't it? If you feel like you're putting too much pressure on it, then maybe it's not the right thing to dip your toe into. If you're happy with your life and you feel comfortable, then don't feel the pressure to go into it. But it sounds to me like there could be an element of bitterness to that one.
And,
you know, maybe they just need to come in at it with a more basic level of just like, what do you want next year? Do you want more free time? Do you want
maybe just asking a bit too much from the manifestation?
Yeah. Like putting too much pressure on it.
Yeah.
Again, it's that pressure. It hasn't got to be pressure. Just write down some things you want. Be open to it coming to you. And if it doesn't, oh, well, try again next year. See what happens.
Totally fair. What else did we have on here? Maybe I'll just read this one as a last one that I thought was really interesting. So this is a woman who wrote in, who's 31. She says, she might be lying. Don't know why I said it like that. I used to define it, success, by the amount of respect I could garner from others, like how many promotions and pay rises I could get in quick succession. As an overachiever, I craved that acknowledgement. It was toxic. I would put work above my romantic relationships. I'd bring this stuff home and never switch off. After many fights, I had to learn that the overachiever in me needed to switch off for a more balanced life. Now I value connection over career success. I see success as non-linear and how my success of work and my success of life is more tied to my emotional state than my work. However, as a woman that doesn't want children, I feel a pressure to do something else with my life. I worry that society places so much emphasis on children that I can never truly be successful in other people's eyes as a non-mother.
I really can resonate with that. And I think a lot of women can. I think I like talking about the idea of success because success will be different for everyone.
Yeah.
I think what we're, and again, you know, when we were speaking about that, those feminine energies where it almost feels like some people are really buying into this thing. It's a bit pyramid scheming. It's a bit like,
right,
you, if you embody this, then you make six figures.
Yeah.
It's like, it doesn't really feel that feminine to me, actually. It just feels a bit like confused. But again, there's an element of like, obviously this person does want to embrace that, but they're also still feeling the pressure of like, well, what does that mean for them if they're not embracing still some of that masculine? But I think I like to look at success as, and my version of success changes all the time. And we might chat again in a year's time and my version of success might be chasing six figures again. I don't know. I think it's more just being open to where you're at currently, being open to what it is that you want to call in without trying to meet the needs of others or societal expectations and just seeing where it takes you and being open to it changing as well. Like I would say 5 years ago, my version of success was feeling validated in my earnings and feeling like, wow, she's fucking like bossing it. But that was just because I needed something else because I didn't have a child and I didn't succeed at that journey yet. We'll see how we go. But for me now, my version of success is, it's actually just about balance. I want to earn money because I like money.
Yeah.
And I love nice things and I want to go on nice fucking holidays. So I need money to pay for that. Money isn't bad. Masculine isn't bad. But I just want to balance it with a bit more like, okay, I need a bit more free time and space. So maybe I'll look at more digital products where I can have a slower morning and I haven't got to get up to get the train into my job. Like, I think success will vary for every single person. And I think finding what that person's version of success is without the pressure of feeling like they need to fill in a gap will be a bit of a journey, but hopefully a fun one because hopefully they'll discover lots of amazing things that they can do in that time. Like, that's what I'm doing now. I'm like doing a bit of everything.
It's also like just quietening the noise of other people's versions, I guess. Like
it hard on social media though, doesn't it?
It does. And like I took up coaching and being coached by someone, and at first I was super skeptical and I found it so valuable, but one of the questions that she'd asked is like, what do you really want? And then you write it down and then it was like, do you think any of these have come from society or other people's point of view? And I was like, god, that's so hard to even untangle.
Yeah, of course there'd be an element of that, and you know, we're human beings, so there's always going to be an element of like, it's part of our survival. So we want to be liked and we want to please others because that's what keeps us safe as well. So there's always going to be an underlying tone of that. But I think I just base it off of what actually feels good. It doesn't matter if I'm doing that because there is a bit of pressure there. But if it actually still feels good for me, then I'm not going to feel bad about doing it.
No.
Like, I don't know.
Yeah, more acceptance.
Just like, how does it actually feel? Like if you want to earn six figures and you want to be a part of a pyramid scheme... The amount of messages I used to get, I've set up a new business, I'd love to send you some...
Arbonne. Fucking Arbonne.
But if that's what makes them feel good, then I can look at that with no judgment. Sounds like I did give a bit of judgment.
I think you might have done.
Yeah, just a hint of judgment. But I can sort of seriously look at that and be like, if that's what's making them feel good, if that's giving them independence, if that's giving them freedom,
then
fucking go for it. Do whatever you do. Do what you got to do.
Amen to that.
Yeah.
Okay, this is genuinely the last segment. But this is rapid fire.
Okay. God. Stress. Okay.
So I'm going to ask you five things, and I want you to answer with yes or mess. So the segment's called Yes or Mess.
Love this.
Bringing in to the girl boss era.
Yes. Interesting.
You can say a few words if you want. I know you're like...
I'm like, yes, if that feels good for you.
Yeah. Using tarot cards for decision making.
Yes.
Idolising success.
Mess.
This is not a yes.
Wait,
or mess.
It depends what success is, right?
Idolizing your success, that's good. We like that.
Mm.
But idolizing society's success.
Idolizing society's success, mess. Idolizing your success, whatever that means to you.
Yes. Love that. Is the concept of toxic masculinity useful?
Yes. Because it's helping us to unpick and explore other energies that could also be useful. It's also giving women a bit more power, and seeing women empowered is like, yes.
Love it. Yes, yes, yes. And the last one, living in your feminine energy.
Yes.
Yeah.
I'm going to say yes to...
Yes to everything.
Living in your masculine and living in your feminine.
Yeah.
Bit of yes, bit of no. I'm sure someone might be able to comment on this and be like, there's another way of describing energy in a slightly better way that's not just masculine and feminine, because it does feel a bit cutthroat. It does feel like you've got to be one or the other and both sound bad.
Yeah.
But that's why I kind of just want a bit of both.
Well, thank you so much.
Is that it?
Are we done?
Yay! Thank you for having me.
Thank you for being
God, here. I yapped for England there.
That was premium yapping. I loved it.
Premium. Did you even get a chance?
It flowed. Yap?